Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, the Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet official
podcast. Welcome for the first time, you're a new listener.
Are you going to do that every week?
Now I am.
Oh, the audio just kicked back in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so now it just went real loud in my head. Doesn't matter. No one needs to know that. To another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host with
the Interrupter! It's Nick Mason, it's me.
What's going on?
Nothing, just living large.
We should point out that our charity drive is still happening.
Yeah, it is.
Also, a big supporter of that and our live panel event, which is coming up on the 25th of March. It's fast approaching. It's filling me with anxiety and dread that we have to be on stage. But it's being sponsored by 360 Fly. It's a type of 360 camera, which they're giving 5 away to people who donate to the Everyday Hero page, which I'll link below, and 5 away on the day. We've got some other prizes and stuff that we're trying to.
And they're filming the whole event. They're filming the whole
thing. That's right. And we're also filming it in regular cameras as well. That's all happening. Yeah.
Ugh, and then we're going to take that footage and put it directly into the bin. Regular cameras. How many degrees is that?
I don't know. What's that? How many is that?
It's less than 100. Maybe it's 180? It's less than
that.
I don't think it is. 160, maybe.
I don't get out of bed for less 160.
That's right. That's 200 less degrees than you get out of bed for.
Yeah, so big thanks to those guys. And like I said, if you donate to the charity page, as little as a dollar even, and bearing in mind, it's Australian money.
So that's nothing.
It's way less.
Just find some dust on your floor, donate that. That's an Australian dollar.
That's it. So we'll be giving away 5 there as well.
We're up to, and we're a week in, because we announced this last week, we're up to 13,300 and... Look, it refreshed. And I don't know.
300 and refresh.
Yeah, 300 and refresh.
And I still haven't made a video on it either.
Yeah,
so
right.
I really got to get into gear. But all that's going well. I think there's a few tickets for just the event.
$13,369.
Yeah. Charity for two.
Yeah.
But I think for the event in Melbourne, I think there's tickets for just the panel still going. I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. If there is, there's not many. If you can, it's like 15
Which
bucks.
Was a surprise to me.
That's right.
And half thought anyone would buy any tickets to this?
That's it. And half of that $15 goes to Men's Mental Health Movember, which is what we're actually, this is what it's all for. When you get your mental health in check, Mason, society benefits. Trickle-down effect. Trickle-down economics.
That's never worked.
But mental health does.
Mental health does work, yeah.
All right. Speaking of mental health, Mason.
Yes.
Can your mental health handle another Alien film prequel?
You know what? Initially, I would have said no, but we just watched this 4 minute something.
Well, I'd
something.
Already watched it, Mason, because I was prepared.
I was not prepared.
But what did you think?
I looked pretty good.
So my understanding is this isn't going to be in the actual movie.
Oh.
So I'm presuming they just wake up when
because
they get
this,
there.
Because this was the crew of the settlement, the terraforming.
The Covenant.
The Covenant. They just palling about.
Yeah.
But that's valuable palling about time that we should see in the movie. So when they're all horribly killed, we feel something for them.
Right, right.
But this felt quite good. It didn't feel like everybody throwing catchphrases at each other. Or it felt like genuine friends having a good friend time.
And like real looking people.
Yeah, right.
Except for Billy Crudup. He's
Very handsome. Very handsome. And Fassbender, but you don't expect him to be right,
that's
real
true.
Looking.
He's a robot. Yeah. So that's he could be...
Maybe Crudup's a robot. Maybe that's the twist. Maybe towards the end of the movie, Crudup's face is torn off and he's a robot. And he's like...
What did you expect?
You're all uggos. What were you thinking? Obviously I'm the robot.
Obviously Danny McBride's real.
That's right. And then all of them are just there and they've got like spikes through their chests and like acids burn off their eyes and they're like... Oh, yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Now that we're dead. We're all dead.
But I think you're right. Maybe this is something they should have included in the movie. But sometimes I think it's nice to try something a little bit different. Like, it's not a trailer, but it's a bit of kind of like, it's a little bit of behind the scenes kind of
stuff. But I also don't like the idea of...
having to see this to understand the movie.
Exactly.
I completely agree.
I'm sure it's a case of like, well, we've got to get them from all formats. We're going to get them on Snapchat. There's a Snapchat filter where you can turn into Billy Crudup, and there's another one where you can turn into Danny McBride, and there's, you know, and there's this, and don't separate them. I don't want to have to go in going, I would have liked, you know, I would have felt more for these characters had I seen this thing, but I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Because why would I have known?
I think it's Star Wars does a pretty good job in the movie. Oh, maybe more so Force Awakens than Rogue One. Mm-hmm. Of you can, all that stuff that you can read or know beforehand helps.
Yes.
But you don't necessarily need to know it.
Okay.
But then again, I feel like Rogue One, a lot of people say, and I agree with this, you can enjoy that movie more if you read the prequel novel, which I think is true.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, it's a fine line to walk.
Well, because in Rogue One especially, I wanted to feel more for those characters.
Right, yeah. Well, it's more, the book's more about Jyn Erso's father. So if you wanted to feel more for
Mads Mikkelsen, absolutely I do.
I mean, you feel enough in a way for him, but, you know.
I feel heaps.
Yeah, a little more couldn't hurt. But no, I think this looks good. It looks really good. I mean, alien movies are very miss lately.
Aren't they though, yeah.
Lately, yeah. When was the last really good one? Is it two?
Yeah, Alien versus Predator 2.
Right. Yeah.
That's the best recent one.
Yeah, but that's not it's not a good
movie. That's schlock and they've just that's just a generic, so that's just a suburban horror film and they've put aliens and predators
exactly.
in it.
Like I quite enjoy Predators.
Oh yeah, sure.
But I mean that's like it's not the if you count them in the same universe. But actually, did you see Predators started filming? They released the cast photo.
Oh
yeah. So
wait, it's Predators with
no, it's two S's. I can't remember what it's called.
I hope it's Predators with two S's, just to indicate it's the sequel.
And I think they're just calling it Shane Black's Predator at the moment.
Oh yeah,
yeah, because he wrote the original. He actually gets murdered in the first one as well, or he's in it at least. He's had something. He was in there. Something about him. I don't know what it was.
Pretty good. He was in that foliage.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
That Jesse Ventura destroyed with a minigun.
But no, Alien Covenant. I am excited.
Looks good. It's got that dirty vibe of the old ones.
Yeah. I am kind of like, is this just going to devolve into just like an aliens movie where just aliens are picking off the crew? Because we have seen that before.
That's
like, how do you make that?
Yeah.
Like, how do you make the xenomorph terrifying again?
You know what? In that 4-minute sequence, I reckon about 3 times I felt that somebody was going to have an alien burst out of their chest.
Okay, sure.
Somebody was like, somebody had just swallowed, you know, too much cornbread or whatever, and she was like, I'm coughing this up, and then they're like, that's going to be an alien, but it wasn't.
So watch it, Mason, you're telling people?
Yeah, watch it.
Because you were like, I'll just skim it, but you didn't skim
it. The whole thing,
You were right into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else has begun filming? This is exciting, I guess, sometimes. Might be.
Oh, yeah.
Han Solo has started. No, don't have a title for it yet. I think it's just been called Han Solo. We see the cast. We've got a Chewbacca. We've got a Donald Glover as a Lando.
We've got a Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson. Amalia Clark. There's someone else there. I can't remember.
A lot of other people I do not recognize on any level.
The directors are there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the big point of contention in this picture is,
Will it be any good? Will it be bad? Will it make billions of dollars even though it's real bad?
I think, you know, you love a fun romp. This is going to be a fun romp.
Great.
Romp, because it's the Lego movie guys. Yep. It's the Jump Street movie guys. It's a young Han Solo, Han Soloing about.
You can't, listeners, you can't see it, but James did a little dance. It's his Han Solo dance.
But
there's some jazz hands involved. It was very odd.
But what do you think of the hair of young Han Solo?
Look, I didn't buy it. I don't think that's his Han Solo hair. I think that's his just got on set hair.
Right.
That's them doing the set tour hair. They're going to give him proper Han Solo hair later.
I think that's midway to Han Solo hair.
Okay,
because
sure.
Because his actual hair doesn't look anything like that.
You think that's a wig?
I don't think it's a wig. I think they've like dyed it and straightened it and kind of whatever.
Oh,
but then on the day,
yep,
they'll make it kind of 1970s kind of Han Solo esque hair. I've got to say though, his face is pretty. He's pretty close, don't you reckon?
Yeah, he's got a close face.
Close to what? What are we talking about? I was saying close to Harrison Ford. Is that what you were saying?
No, just close to things, probably.
Close to
from
like,
time to time. I bet his face has been close to things.
Yeah, I don't doubt
probably
it.
Probably within a couple of parsecs of many things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Mm. But it's what's interesting, though, is it's still opening.
We'll see about that. What's interesting, James?
It's still interesting. Well, this is interesting, for one.
Oh, he's doing the dance again. Slightly different. He's got closed hands now. Spoiling for a fight, and he's dancing.
It's still opening in May of 2018, next year.
Right.
Which means we're going to get episode 8,
uh-huh.
And then a few months later we're getting Han Solo, which means December is... We're not getting a Star Wars movie in December in 2018.
Ooh.
Unless...
Ooh.
Do you think it's possible to get a film underway, a secret project, get it filming and get it released before December of next year?
Yes.
I think it would be, right?
They wouldn't do it, though.
You don't think they might be like, they'll announce at Star Wars Celebration, which is in like a month, be like, and we're making an Obi-Wan movie, or we're making a Boba Fett movie.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant they'd secret. I was like, this is very ambitious, like release a secret project December 2018.
They could never release a secret Star Wars movie. Mm. It could never happen.
Yeah.
I'd like to be surprised, Mason, but no. What do you think? Do you think that's a possibility? Because December has been the Star Wars month.
Right, yeah.
That's what they've been smashing at, Mason. Out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even look in the park. It's not in there. Got to look past the park.
Past the park.
Yeah.
Go down the shops.
Might be there.
Might be down the shops. Oh, this is something that happened to me this week. I was walking past a supermarket.
Yeah.
Walking, like behind a supermarket, like with a like past the loading bay. And then were there like these three 18-wheelers parked there.
Right.
And then past that, there was a little table and chairs and it was the drivers and they were clearly catching up.
Sure.
And one of them's like, oh yeah, so Sarah broke her femur. And the second driver's like, oof, no good. And then the third driver to the first driver was like, no, mate, you broke her femur. And then I just had to keep walking. Because there was no place for me to stop and just go, lean in what? And be like, what are you talking about? Like how?
What is that?
Why did you try? Why, you, driver number one, why did you try to move blame to Sarah when clearly what happened was your fault? When third driver clearly knew. He knew the score. Why were you trying to trick driver number two?
And we'll never know.
We'll never know.
God.
Yeah. I'll have to just keep walking past.
Please do.
The supermarket until. God. Yeah. Sorry, what were we talking about?
That's amazing. Anyway.
Secrets.
Do you think we could be getting another Star Wars movie in December? Do you think they're going to give up that spot? At least for that year.
How long would they have to make the whole thing?
Well, we're considering the Han Solo movie's out in May of next year.
Yeah.
They've got a bit over a year to turn it around. That being said, this movie has been prepping for ages.
Yeah, yeah.
So assuming that,
yes.
Let's say, then it would have to start by at least mid-year. Maybe a bit after. And they'd have to be secretly planning it the whole time.
Yeah. Maybe if it's the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie that some people want, which is the small-scale one.
Exactly,
it's set on Tatooine or
very few special effects.
It
looks like any Star Wars fan film where they're set in a forest or a field near somebody's house.
And in the first scene, he loses his lightsaber down a drain, so there's no, they don't have to do any lightsaber special effects. It's just him with half a brick for the whole film. And at the end, he finally gets it, and he's like, well, that's a relief.
Credits.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. But I got a question here from Glenosaurus Rex on Twitter. He says, will the Han Solo movie have a chin scar explaining the scene a la The Last Crusade? Because as we know, famously, Harrison Ford has a scar on his chin. I think he was in a car accident, I can't remember. But he does have
probably
one.
Probably burned it on his bong, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Probably his bong got a little too hot and then he put it on his chin.
Do you know he was involved in another plane incident recently? Did you see that? Yeah, he flew into some airspace that he wasn't supposed to and they were like, get the hell out of here!
Oh, he was flying his own plane.
Yeah.
Not a pilot. It wasn't a private plane. He was flying his own plane.
Yeah, something like that. You know he loves a bloody light aircraft, doesn't he? Yeah. He's a menace, that bloke. Yeah. He doesn't care. He's a loose unit. But do you think, though, we'll get that scene where he gets the scar?
Ah, no, I don't think people remember that.
Okay. You don't reckon?
Maybe if the director... I mean, I'm sure all the directors are huge Star Wars fans of these films, but...
Yeah.
I don't think, maybe it'll be something that ends up on the cutting room floor.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a bit too much to be like, hey.
Look, if this is a Han Solo movie that I want it to be fast. I don't want it to.
Pithy.
I don't want it to be bogged down in unnecessary scenes where he's burning his chin on his bong or whatever. His space bong.
So in The Last Crusade, he gets it by trying to whip a lion in a circus carriage.
That's right.
Is there going to be so you don't think there'll be any equivalent of that?
Nah.
Other than him just maybe taking he's got some spice in a bong.
He's got it, yeah.
That's the drug.
Yeah.
That's the bloody drug. Last question. Do you think it'll be the same guy? We've said this before. Do you think they're going to cast this guy as young Indiana Jones? Alden Ehrenreich.
No.
Because it gives too much power to one man?
It gives too much power to one man, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And maybe they want to see how this kind of plays out as well, how people accept him. I mean, it wouldn't hurt. I think if he does well in this, people would demand that they cast him.
This would have to be the ultimate star-making.
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy it. Like, you know, for Harrison Ford, Han Solo was, because it was an original character.
Yeah.
And, you know, his take on that.
Mm.
But this guy's just doing an impression. You don't give this guy another franchise based on an impression he's done, surely.
I don't think they went for impression. That's the impression that I got. They went more capture the spirit and the hair loosely, if you can.
Yeah.
But no, I see what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's no good. Got it.
He's no good. No, he's. I saw him in that thing. I saw him in Hail Caesar. He was very charming.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard that. Yeah. I haven't seen
it. The impression that I get.
Oh, good. Remember Scar? That was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I absolutely remember Scar.
Real big fish?
Real big fish. Checkered Vans. Wearing a wallet chain. Little hat.
Get a trombonist in your group.
Get a trombonist. Weird sunnies. What I enjoy about this is that is almost certainly describing exactly somebody listening to this podcast right now. And they're like, what do you mean? Never touched a trombone in my life. Never touched the euphonium.
All right. Next bit of news.
Yes.
Guillermo. Did I say it right?
It depends who you're talking about.
Del Toro.
Then yes.
Yeah. He says that Hellboy 3 won't happen.
No, that's right. It's off the table forever.
And that's the final thing about it, he says.
Ew.
I was under the impression that it was never going to happen.
Same.
Yeah. They didn't make enough money. They're too expensive. I love them. I think they're great.
Uh-huh.
And it's been like over 10 years since the last one, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Ron Perlman's very old now.
He's too... I mean, just put him in all the...
No, but his skin's too soft now. His skin's too baby soft.
Tear off his face.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. It's a shame. I'm just not surprised. Like, who's... Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where... I know fans trick studios into making it, then it makes zero money.
Money, that's
like
right.
Like a Serenity, do you know what I mean? Which was great, but... you know what I mean? It didn't...
Was that trickery, do you think? Or do you think Joss Whedon was like... Guys, I just got to finish this. Do me a favor.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Actually, did you see that recently Fox were like, we'd be open to a Serenity revival, but only if Joss Whedon's going to do it. Did we talk about that?
Maybe briefly, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe in the real world we talked about
maybe
it. Doesn't count.
Doesn't count, does it?
No.
It's not monetizable, Mason.
No, that's right.
But do you think it's past the point of bringing that back, though? Firefly? Do you think like creative people should be able to move on? And not be kind of dragged.
Yeah, and also, you have to get it. Like, everybody's busy now.
Yeah.
Nathan Fillion's probably on his 15th season of Castle.
Isn't that cancelled?
Who knows?
Yeah, who does
I would have said that about Grey's Anatomy, but apparently that's still going. you know, everybody else is on. I mean, we've had a character die, we've had an actor die.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
I mean, you can bring back one of those.
Well, the character that died and the actor that died line up in one of the cases. I'm saying it's free. Bishop. Bishop?
Yes.
Is that the guy who died? No. Is that his name?
No, it's...
Book.
Book.
Yeah.
Shepherd Book.
Shepherd Book, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. So I'm just saying, you're free. You're free and clear, Mason, is what I'm saying. But yeah, so no, you're saying.
No, I kind of like it. You know what? It was a Western, and I like the fact that they just at the end they kind of flew off into the sunset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
You don't have to know exact... I don't need to know the continuing adventures. The... main storyline wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
We found out what happened to River. We know what the deal with the Reavers. We know all that sort of stuff.
Wash died.
Wash, he died a hero's death of sorts.
Washed out, mate.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm fine with it. That's how it ended.
In their face.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. In your face, creators of that and actors, producers, Joss Whedon, in all your faces.
This is exciting, Mason. This is some good DC news. It's nice to kind of roll that out once every 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Matt Reeves...
is confirmed to direct the Batman.
Because he was rumoured, and then he was in, and then he was out, and then he's back in again.
People are saying that was a tactic to kind of get more money, that he would have got, you know, he would have got a pretty substantial...
Reeves playing hardball.
You know he is,
He's
mate.
Learned from those apes, from that Planet of the Apes movie. He's like, don't show your teeth, or do show your teeth.
Do not compromise.
Thump your chest.
Yeah.
Ride a horse and carry machine guns.
Pretend to be a goof, then machine gun a bunch of people.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Matt Reeves way.
Yeah. So... I think it's good. I think it's absolutely a good thing. He's a good get. Now, they didn't mention in the official statement Ben Affleck, so people started immediately freaking out.
Maybe Affleck's out. Maybe he's in. Maybe he's confirmed. Maybe he's not.
And then pretty much straight away it was like, no, he is. But what I don't... to me, I'm like, well, this announcement isn't about him, so it doesn't necessarily need to mention that he's in or out.
It's just struck me now. It's interesting that at no point... Because I guess when you... interview a celebrity, you have to sign a form, and it says, okay, don't talk about their private life, don't talk about their divorce or whatever. Why did none of them say, don't talk about, like, don't ask him about Batman?
Because it's the same studio, it's Warner Brothers, so they want people, asking him about it. Yeah, you're talking about Live by Night.
Or anything, of the last couple of things he's done. Yeah,
it's a good question. These are all good questions. I don't know.
Maybe they could have said, hey, Ben Affleck, remember... We're the same studio is making your little passion project, so stop being so grumpy when people ask you about Batman. Because he has reached the end of his rope on this.
Oh, totally. He absolutely has. Rope. Yeah. But at this point, it looks like he's in it, and it's all happening.
Everything's fine,
which
everyone.
It's good, man. I do want to see another Affleck Batman movie, and Matt Reeves is I think he's a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
So let's bloody make this happen, Mason. Not us. Let's make this happen.
Me and you. Yeah.
Another bit of exciting DC news, though. Chris McKay is going to direct a Nightwing solo movie.
Who's that?
Chris McKay.
No, Nightwing. Who's Nightwing? I'm just kidding.
I couldn't tell you. No, I don't know. What do you think of that?
Who's Chris McKay?
I'm just Googling that right
now. Okay, cool.
But what do you think of Nightwing?
I like it.
You like his work?
Yes.
Good. Hang on. He did the Lego Batman movie.
Oh, then great.
Done.
Which we haven't seen yet because it's not out here yet.
Yeah, so that's right. Yeah.
And we're law-abiding citizens and we won't steal it off the internet for a while.
Until there's a good enough copy of
it. Then we definitely will.
Yeah, I think Nightwing, because Nightwing's a fun, Batman.
He's fun Batman.
So, no, I think that's a pretty solid choice. He did a lot of Robot Chicken stuff, this guy. So, yeah, pretty bloody...
So assuming they don't reboot the universe, we'll get this Nightwing character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Even if they do reboot it, you could still do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, this opens the door for, if Affleck does want to leave, we get whoever is playing Nightwing to take over as Batman.
Do you think it's premature, Mason, that we've seen, that we're going to see a Nightwing before seeing any version of Robin?
No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's established in this universe that there has been Robins.
Mm.
And so, why not?
Look, I think it's fine. Everybody in the entire world is aware of Batman and Robin, so they can extrapolate in their mind a universe in which Robin is not Robin anymore. He became Nightwing, and then Batman got another Robin, and that Robin was horribly murdered, and we'll be back soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then maybe there's a third Robin.
Yeah, exactly. Or a red Robin.
A red Robin. A girl Robin.
Girls can be Robins,
girls
too.
Girls can be Robins, too.
Both the superhero and actual flying creature.
Whatever they want.
Whatever you want, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. That's great. So that's good news, man. Uh-huh. It's nice to be like, good news, good director. Everyone's still on board. There's a Nightwing movie happening.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. I think Zack Snyder's not going to do another one after Justice League. All these things are...
What do you think he's going to do after that?
Some passion project that's really
nice.
Not good.
Do you think it'll be literally passion project? Do you think it'll be Jesus-y somehow? I reckon it might be. I get that sense.
Is he that kind of bloke?
No, I don't know. I just get that sense.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. X-Men news on the X-Men front.
Oh, yes.
It's all happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Kinberg may write and direct X-Men Supernova, which is possibly the next X-Men film. Maybe it isn't. There's like six happening. There's like New Mutants. There's
X-Force.
Deadpool.
Deadpool 2.
And all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he says it's premature to say so.
The Jubilee solo movie.
Boo. he said it's premature to say so, that is the case. He's never directed before, an X-Men movie at least. Mm-hmm. I don't think ever, but he's had a big hand in kind of like, in the mixed bag that is the Fox comic book universe. Because he's done like Days of Future Past and First Class, or had a hand in, but he's also done like Fantastic Four.
Uh-huh. So he's just involved in things.
Yeah, he's a producer-writer.
So his ultimate role is dodging bullets, basically. It's
exactly
take credit for the good ones, say you had nothing to do with the bad ones.
Though, to be fair, he does often, like, he'll
Well, actually, maybe not to be fair. He does come out and rubbish stuff that didn't go well. Or he's kind of like, sorry, the Fantastic Four didn't work out. He said this recently. We're not going to do it again until we have a good idea. Just don't do it.
Just don't. But also, that feels like, you know, when a band releases their new album and they're like, that last album, we didn't really care about it. It was garbage. Yeah. We didn't put our heart and soul into it.
You're all idiots for buying it.
But this one, we did. Yeah. So you should definitely buy this one.
Are you comparing Robbie Williams' Sing When You're Winning to Swing When You're Winning? Because there's a big difference between the quality in those albums.
I bet there is. Wait, which one's better?
I don't know. One of them swing songs, Mason.
Good reference. I love it.
Thanks. Anyway, X-Men. Yeah. It might be a Phoenix Force movie.
That's I was going to say Supernova.
Yeah.
What's all that about?
Phoenix Force? Are they going to do Space Bird Phoenix Force? They said the mistake they... He said the mistake they made with X-Men 3, Mason...
Yes?
...was that they made... I think it was him. ...was that they made the Phoenix Force like a side plot to everything else that was going on in that movie.
Right, okay.
Because there was also like a mutant cure and... What else happened?
There was a mutant cure.
There was an endless wave of generic mutants.
Mutants, yep.
They could every
all dress the same,
and they could all teleport.
That was my biggest problem. I feel with X-Men 3. Now that I think about it, right. Is all the generic mutants dressed exactly the same?
Hoods, scars.
Where was a preppy one? Yeah. Wearing a little bow tie and an Argyle vest.
Well, you're not gonna rush a bloody facility, are you? In an Argyle vest?
Maybe you are. I might.
Yeah, you would.
I probably would. Yeah. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, so that's all great. But here's some kind of sad issues.
Maybe Stealth Argyle. Black and grey?
Stargyle. I getcha. This is kind of some sad news, but also it feels like it's...
I had a thought about the Phoenix.
Go on. Oh, yeah, sorry. I did ask
Well, I don't know. Are they going to introduce space
You derailed
elements?
Yourself, mate.
I did. Yeah, that's right. With my Argyle vest talk. My famous segment. Are they going to go to space? Is the Shi'ar going to be involved? Is there going to be aliens? What are they going to do?
Do they own the Shi'ar? Because in the...
Oh, good question.
I have no idea.
Well,
I've never
seen
it
come up anywhere else, I don't think. Yeah.
I know any X-Men characters are Foxes by default.
Okay.
There are a few exceptions to that. But and I think a lot of the space stuff they don't have.
Okay.
A lot of the cosmic stuff.
Because I would say we only really see the Shi'ar as attached to the X-Men.
Okay, then that's
so
probably...
Maybe?
Yeah, then you might be right. Yeah. Mm. So,
but do you want Jean Grey to magically connect to an alien space force? And
did
be like,
it start like that in the story, or is that something they kind of retcon later, where it was a space bird that could attach itself to whoever?
I think it's always been a space bird.
Okay,
maybe
yeah.
I'm wrong.
I've never read it because I don't want to.
Because it's essentially a soap opera, but everybody attaches themselves to a giant flaming space bird.
Correct. Yeah. I know it's one of those staple things that you have to read as a comic book fan, but. I don't want it.
Not gonna.
So Patrick Stewart, though, he said that he's done playing Professor X.
Did you see he did a tweet this week? It's from his GQ photo shoot or something.
Oh, really?
It's just a series of photos of him looking real,
Check it, he's
real fly.
He's good enough to be on the cover of Men's Health.
Well, I've not seen him with his shirt off, but potentially.
Yeah, I think he could do
I
it.
I reckon he's probably in great
shape.
You don't
always have
age.
To take your shirt off for Men's Health, though.
Oh, don't you?
No. You can wear a t-shirt.
If you're a coward.
Yeah,
it's the coward issue.
They Photoshop it anyway, doesn't it?
But I feel also, because apparently what you have to do, I think we've even talked about this in the podcast before, but when you have to get real swole, and then the night before you have to get really drunk or something and dehydrate yourself.
And like the days before that, not drink water.
Yeah.
So you turn up and you barely know what's happening.
So I think he might die.
Oh yeah, good point. Yeah, he might disintegrate like he did in X-Men 3.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, he said, after watching a screening of Logan, he said, I realized there was never a better, more perfect... a more sensitive, emotional, and beautiful way to say au revoir to Charles Xavier than this movie. So I told Hugh that same evening, it's done.
All right, we get it. You're friends with Hugh Jackman, Patrick Stewart. We get it, all right?
I'm done too. It's all over.
Wow.
So I can understand that. Why do another one if you hit the emotional highs, Mason?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you? Why would you do another X-Men movie? Why would anybody do another X-Men movie?
The money.
Yeah, I guess right. I guess that's right.
Just... Fox is throwing money at you. They've got so much and they have no quality control. So even if you're a bad actor, they'll get you in again. That's how it works.
I mean, it seems like they're moving away from the older cast anyway.
Does that feel like a spoiler to you?
No, not... Oh, yeah, potentially. But Hugh Jackman's not doing another one.
Yeah, okay.
Like, no, I don't know. Well, we're seeing it next week. We'll be talking about it in a big way.
But, I guess people know already. Don't spoil it for us if you've already seen it.
Yeah.
But that feels...
Stay out of our business.
Yeah, right? None of your beeswax, any of this. But it feels... That would suggest to me that he doesn't die in this.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he did die once before, and then
it doesn't matter. Spoiler alert, none of it matters.
It doesn't matter, Mason.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Well, Mason, what a week.
How do you mean?
It's just, everything's happening.
You know
what I mean?
This is the part where you slowly start sliding down your chair. Exhaustion's caught up to you. Like, what a week, man. It's been...
I tried to get real swole for the podcast.
Yeah, you did.
I'm all dehydrated. We do have a shirt off section. We don't talk about it, obviously.
That's right, yeah.
But it does happen every week. We thought we'd talk about some interesting Wolverine stuff. We've talked about the X-Men movies and the Hugh Jackman Wolverine movies. We've done that to death.
But let's do it to death some more.
Slightly differently, though.
Oh.
Because we're going to talk about this week some interesting tidbits and facts and information, all things Wolverine.
It's the Wolverine primer.
You better believe it is. Stuff that, and it's not necessarily stuff like
the first issue was in 1974, and it was blah, blah, blah. I don't know when the first... I mean, at some time in the 70s.
It's 1974. You're
look at
correct.
You. So you had that fact.
I already got it.
You nerd idiot.
Incredible Hulk 180. I don't normally remember numbers, but he appears right... So his very first appearance, Wolverine's first appearance...
I was just going to say, though, I was about to say, we're not going to do generic facts like that.
Oh, okay,
but
right.
Apparently we are.
No, we're going to do it. No, we're going to do it. I've got some... Look... This is all I have, is weird facts about characters preloaded in my brain that would normally come out at parties and alienate me from everyone, but here's my safe space,
yeah.
So I'm just going to shoot them all out and vomit them all out of my mouth. Okay. What do you want to know about Wolverine?
Well, what? Okay, here's a question for you. So he debuted in The Hulk.
Yes.
But what do we know about his past before they revealed every second of his past? Like, because you always said the character was more interesting before they went, he was a little Lord Fauntleroy.
That's right. He was a fancy little lad in Canada.
Yeah.
He was the most polite boy in the land. And then he became Wolverine.
Yeah.
Well, all we knew, initially we knew nothing about him.
Yeah.
So the issue of the Hulk, he goes to Canada to fight the Wendigo.
Right.
He's like Canada's Sasquatch.
Yep.
And then he defeats the Wendigo.
They're off-brand Sasquatch.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got the Yeti.
Yeah, that's right.
Do we
have the Yeti? What do we have?
Do we have the Gobbledonk?
We have the potato chip mascot, the Gobbledonk. Yes, we do have that. But we also have the Bunyip.
We have the Bunyip. That's right. We have we have Tucker Bag.
Yep. We have.
Did I ever tell you that my brother met Tucker Bag?
I'm sure you've probably even mentioned it on this show. We've done so many episodes.
I'm not going to talk about Tucker Bag.
The supermarket. Mascot, the animated paper bag, Tucker Bag, yes.
He's not animated, he's a puppet. He's got a little flappy mouth.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Anyway, my brother bet Tucker Bag.
Great. Wait, which brother?
The one you like.
Oh, good, great, good stuff.
Anyway, go on.
So, he defeats the Wendigo.
I don't think he did, I think it's a false memory. But anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah, right, okay. And then, what, you're saying your brother...
imagined meeting
Tucker
Bag.
Wow, that's very Wolverine. Do you think... He was your brother was implanted with a false memory in which he met supermarket mascot Tucker Bag. That's so Wolverine.
Sorry, continue.
Anyway, he defeats the Wendigo, who is a gigantic white furry monster of the stature of the Hulk.
Right.
And then the Hulk, then Wolverine leaps in and is like, if you had a problem with Wendigo, I'm gonna defeat you because I'm a tiny little man. I'm a 5'4" little man with claws. Watch out. Because this was at this point he didn't have anything.
No, well I found out as well that originally he might have been a Wolverine.
An actual Wolverine.
That evolved into a man.
Correct.
That his spikes were actually in his gloves.
Yeah,
like, so they hadn't thought any of this through.
Yeah, so the first appearance basically, it was John Romita Sr. who created the original version, and he basically said, okay, well, it's just a guy and he's got claws on his gloves and they retract because how could he scratch his nose or eat a sandwich or whatever
if
he didn't have retractable claws. But I don't think they ever retract in the comic book. He's always just got the claws out.
He was in a fight!
And so they're like, yeah, he's just this guy.
Mm.
So what a perfect opponent for the Hulk.
Just a guy with gloves. Guys
with gloves. And then, yeah, I think they were like, okay, if we were going to give him a second appearance in this kind of context, we would have revealed that he was just an actual Wolverine that had evolved into a man or mutated into a man. And he just worked for the Canadian government. He was just like, get out of Canada, the Hulk.
How dare you touch the Wendigo?
It's me.
He's our Tucker Bag.
It's me, Canada's ultimate agent, a Canadian who isn't very polite.
That's right. Didn't expect that.
That's right.
They also read that they were toying with other ideas that he'd be like a badger. And like they were like, what's a cool sounding, you know, kind of thing
could
be.
Not the badger.
I'm fairly certain for years I didn't know a Wolverine was an actual creature. And I think that was something Hugh Jackman only found out recently.
Huh.
Like, I've always associated a Wolverine with the character.
Yeah,
I wasn't really... I mean, I knew there was a Black Panther in real life. That's
sure,
a real
yeah.
creature, but not
Did you think
Wolverine
like wolf? Like wolf-like?
Is I have no idea. Okay, I just didn't think about it, if
wow.
I'm honest. I'd never...
That's your problem, James. You just didn't think...
about it.
About that.
Correct, yeah.
Then they were like, I think... They were like, just put him in X-Men. Yeah. Make him a mutant. Put him in X-Men.
They said as well, he was originally going to be 19, but when they drew him with like the hairline, they're like, oh, he looks older. So he was originally going to be like a teen kind of character, which is odd to think about.
And so in when they put him in X-Men, they drew him with the mask off for the first time.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, you know those giant wing things you've got on your head? That's your actual hair. That's how he actually looks now.
You built the mask around your hairstyle.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also read a thing about how with Sabretooth, who we'll talk about more in a bit, I assume, that the idea was that, what was it, that the first drawing, one, a different comic book artist drew of Wolverine's face.
Yes.
Didn't realize that someone else had already drawn his face, so that second face became Sabretooth. Does that make sense? Yep. So the Sabretooth was a design of somebody else who thought that's what Wolverine would look like under the mask.
I get it.
Somebody had already done it. Mm-hmm. I don't have any names here, but I do have that fact written down somewhere. Yeah. Good stuff. What else you got, Mason? Any more things?
Facts.
I've got so many facts.
Okay, give me some facts.
All right. There's 13 types of adamantium, and Wolverine's is the 9th version. Because as we know...
Yes.
What is it? Well, the bone claws...
Seems we don't know.
No, okay. So they said that one of the ideas at first, because a lot of stuff that they kind of were going to do, but then they didn't. Uh-huh. They were going to make it he had like the adamantium on his skeleton was biological.
Huh.
So it wasn't going to be an experiment. And you said, I remember you saying ages ago that you saw Wolverine, like an x-ray of his skeleton in the comics. He had like gears and stuff.
Well, he had like electronics and wires and stuff in
there. Yeah.
Like, yes, there's one point where he goes to Japan. Like, he goes to Japan a lot.
He loves it there.
And, but in the 90s, he went to Japan and of course he goes through the metal detectors and it sets everything off. He's got a little card from S.H.I.E.L.D. that says, hey,
I'll kill you.
I'll kill all of you. Watch out for this guy. He's definitely going to kill you. He's a very impolite Canadian. But he puts they're like, what's the deal with you? And he just puts his hand through the airport x-ray scanner.
Right, right.
And you can see inside and it's clearly bionic in some way.
That's interesting.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Wolverine is subject to some of the most retconning of any comic book character, I think.
Right, right, yeah.
Where they've just been like, oh, yeah, just make him this. Just add in this. Just
do you like bone claws?
No, I hate them.
Yeah.
They make no sense. Mm. Think of an animal that has bone claws.
A Wolverine.
No.
I don't know anything about Wolverine.
Nothing has bone claws.
Yeah, I don't,
it's not a thing.
I don't disagree. Well, it's like the same thing like Spider-Man. Like, webs don't shoot out of your wrist. The biological version of Spider-Man's web shooters.
Out of his butt.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. But, I completely understand. But, I mean, it's possible that if a guy evolves to shoot lasers out of his head in the universe, then a man can have bone claws.
Well, exactly. I mean, the X-Men, of course, have marrow.
Right.
Who can pull big pieces of bone out of herself and hurl them at people.
Yeah, there's a few characters that can do that, isn't there?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, exactly. So, what do you know about Dark Claw?
The amalgam character.
Yes. We've talked about him briefly before. It's the Batman-Wolverine hybrid.
Hybrid, yeah.
And it's not... I don't think it's a great design, because it's literally just...
With the worst excesses of the 90s.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
Because in the 90s, we had the Marvel versus DC event.
It was a big deal, probably.
Where the two personifications of the universe clashed with one another. And as a result, all the heroes of the Marvel and DC universe clashed with one another.
Right.
And we as the audience had to vote to determine some of the winners.
Did you vote?
No. Because this was in the...
You get the comics like 6 months later.
The comics would come out significantly later in Australia than they would in America. So by that time...
And you'd hate to sway. You'd hate to use your influence.
Also, I wouldn't want to cut anything out of the comic books.
That's a really good point. Keep them forever.
Keep them
forever. They're worth a lot, aren't they?
So anyway, and then at the second to last issue of that series, I think, or the universe is combined and we got the Amalgam Universe.
Yeah.
Some characters of which were better than others, but one of which was Darklaw, which was Batman and Wolverine together. So, of course, he was Logan Wayne, I think.
Something like that.
And he was a...
And it's literally like a mashup of their origins. Like, they're just stacked on top of each other.
And the costumes were stacked upon each other.
Exactly.
So it was like the yellow and blue Wolverine costume, but even more 90s-ified.
Right, yeah.
But it had... And it was covered in pouches, and it had a cape, and he had claws, and it was way too much.
I bet people were like, this is the coolest thing that's
I bet at the time. Yeah. And I think his villain was... Joker and
Sabretooth
combined.
Which is just, it was Sabretooth with like Joker's face. Like if you look
exactly.
up the art. It's too much. I guess that's the idea.
But again, they had a second Marvel versus DC event. Well, they had a second round of Amalgam characters.
Yeah.
And we got the Adventures of Darklaw, which was Dark Claw in the style of Batman the Animated Series, was which was actually great.
Cool, okay. So from bad things that are no good,
yes,
you sometimes get a good thing.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Exactly. So yeah, do you like Wolverine as a character, I guess is my question.
I do. Yeah. I genuinely do. It was, I'm like, everybody goes back to this, but like the 90s X-Men cartoon, like it's a really good representation of the comics and the characters. And Wolverine in particular is pretty bloody on point. I never liked it when he took his mask off because he looked real weird.
You wanted to maintain the mystery. Sure,
absolutely,
I understand.
Yeah. But so that to me was like my first exposure to him. But what about you? Were you a fan?
Yes, but I have become increasingly less of a fan as the character has evolved. And again,
is that because of the origin being revealed?
Origin being revealed. It's the nature
of his healing factor.
It's the fanboy adulation that's led to him becoming this indestructible being.
Right.
I liked, but I actually looked it up because I wasn't, I couldn't remember where I first saw the character, and I looked it up. It was actually a 6-page comic.
Right.
There was this Marvel anniversary book that came out in like 1990 or something like that. It was called Marvel 5 Fabulous Decades of Comic. And they did this reprint of this 6-issue Chris Claremont Wolverine story called The Hunter. You can track it down at 6 pages. So
that's
it's just
my favorite costume.
Yeah, it's the brown and orange costume.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically he goes to Japan to track down Mariko, who's his love.
Yeah.
And he has to get inside the hand stronghold.
Right, okay.
And it's surrounded by, you know, goons with guns and mandroids and all this sort of stuff.
Is Wolverine a weeaboo?
Is that someone who loves Japanese stuff?
Right. He's always going there.
Yeah,
that's
true.
He's always appropriating culture, Mason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. but anyway, it's only 6 pages, but it gives you this good grounding in this character. And it is, like, it's real bloody for some reason. Like
who did it, did you say?
It's Chris Claremont, yeah. And the artist... Who bloody knows? Marshall Rogers, who was a Batman artist for a really long time. But look, look at this bloody. He's chewing people up. Look at the blood.
Man.
Look at the blood on those claws.
Look at him go.
But you get this good grounding in this character. I guess this is before he was fully in like the X-Men universe. So
right.
he didn't have to become more PG rated.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was kind of like, this is the element of this character. And he's chopping the arms off mandroids. It's pretty great with people in them.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. But the essential element of the character of this that I liked is that it wasn't that he was the most powerful character. He was just so tenacious and he was a wrecking ball and the idea, like, you feared him not because he could shoot lasers out of his eyes or control the weather or had telekinesis or, you know, telepathy or any of those things.
Yeah.
It's just that he would not stop until he achieved this goal.
Right.
Even if he was riddled with bullets, which he is in this story.
How's his healing factor there?
Well,
that's changed wildly as well.
Yeah, he's still riddled with bullets by the end of this.
Okay,
like,
cool.
There are bleeding bullet holes in him at the end of this.
Yeah.
But in current editions, if they put 100 bullets in him...
Well, he's dead at the moment, but...
Oh, exactly, yeah. No, that's true.
But,
you know... If somebody puts 100 bullets in him, his body will spit all the bullets out and they'll all seal up and
yeah.
he'll be fine in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
The idea behind this character is he's riddled with bullets and he'll be fine in a couple of days.
Yes.
Which is still insane.
Yeah.
But he's not magically... Where's the mass coming from?
Yeah, I don't...
Where's 100 bullets worth of mass coming from?
Good question. Well, there's been moments as well where he's been reduced to a skeleton and like
come
a
back.
Single like...
Ridiculous.
You know,
I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I don't like... I love the idea that he's like Batman in the Justice League,
yeah.
that he's more or less a normal man-ish.
Sure. I mean, he's got some super strength.
Yeah, but yeah. compared to everybody else,
yeah.
he's this ground-level guy.
Compared to like a Juggernaut or a
yeah.
Magneto or whatever.
And
yeah.
that's why I also like the idea of the fact that these adamantium claws were built into him.
Right,
like,
yes.
It's an addition.
Yeah.
That they went, you know what, you know, this guy who's got this healing factor...
This would go really
well
with
if we
that.
Cut him into little pieces and we put the adamantium skeleton, the claws into him, he will heal up and then we can use him as a weapon.
He's like, yeah, the skill that he has is perfect for this for this thing. Yeah.
Mm.
What about how the time that it was pulled out of his body by Magneto?
Oh, I remember that.
That was a big deal at the time.
Fatal Attraction was the storyline,
like
I think.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see the comic panel where it just kind of just rips all out of
Look, I think that's interesting.
Mm. Because he could hear, he can heal quicker without it. It slows
him
down.
I believe that somebody on the staff suggested that as a joke.
Oh,
might have been, might have been Peter David, the Hulk writer, was like, yeah, just pull Ollie adamantium out. Wouldn't that be funny?
I like the idea of that, though. I don't remember what they did with it specifically. I think he got more violent because
yeah, look, the adamantium was put in a jar, I think.
Okay.
I think it was used on somebody else.
Right, yeah. Dakin. We'll talk about him.
Okay, right. Yeah, it's interesting that Magneto never thought to do this.
Right, yeah. Well, I guess
for the previous 20 years.
Because, I mean, he fluctuates from how malicious he is.
I guess that's true, yeah.
I mean? Like, sometimes he's whatever, and he's a good guy, and sometimes he's, you know, he's pulling adamantium out of dudes. But I think maybe that was what, maybe the start of the rise of his healing factor getting out of control.
It was, yeah.
Because he could... Isn't there a panel in that where he gets hit by a car and he flies through the air and he heals before he hits the ground?
Ground, exactly, yeah.
Is that right?
So the idea, what we learn from, you know, all the adamantium's pulled out of him and what is retconned in and what we learn about his power set is that his healing factor is in fact 100 times more efficient than we'd previously seen.
Yeah.
And the adamantium was holding that back.
Right.
So the adamantium, I guess, when you put it in somebody, is poisonous.
Mm.
And so his healing factor was constantly trying to counteract that,
yep.
Which slowed his healing factor down. So if he got shot with 100 bullets, it'd take him a couple of days to recover. Now it'd be instant. So
yeah.
There is this... He does become feral at a certain point and he escapes from, the Professor X's... I think he's in Professor X's mansion or what have you.
Sure.
And he escapes.
Just
and
roaming the corridors?
He just runs through the you know, Westchester County, like a madman, and he's hit by a car, and we see he's being observed, like medically on a big screen, and we see him get hit by a car. All the bones in his body break. He's hurled through the air, and then all his bones heal and knit together perfectly by the time he's hit the ground, which I guess is fun for a while.
Yes,
and then because at that point, it's revealed that he has bone claws instead of metal claws. And that, I guess, was fun for a while because he was fighting against these villains who now realize that he was more vulnerable but also less vulnerable. Like, it was a different power set and it confused the villains and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't cut, you know, an armored villain, you know, in half anymore because his bone claws would just break.
Mm.
But at the same time, they couldn't do it. Like, they could set him on fire with a flamethrower and it'd be fine in one panel or what have
you. Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same... eventually happened is he got the adamantium back.
Mm.
Well, he got different adamantium back.
I was going to say, the other one went Cyber. In a
jar. He got his adamantium back from the supervillain Cyber, who was a very 90s villain.
Why would he give it back to him? Was it like, now you're going to be work for me and you're the ultimate weapon for me?
I think Apocalypse kidnapped Cyber and tore his arms off.
Why did Cyber give Wolverine
unwillingly. Apocalypse captured him and
tore
his arms off.
Now I understand it.
But anyway, what happened after that is they put the adamantium back, but nobody told the writers, hey, maybe it's time to ramp down his healing factor again.
Right, yeah.
Or maybe they were like, people enjoy it more
when
he's reduced to a skeleton and then put back together again. So let's just keep it in. Which to me was the I don't care about this character anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boo. Did you read The Death of Wolverine
recently? No. But he's covered. He's covered with adamantium, and then
he is. Yeah, he's a big melting man inside a thing.
Where is he?
I can't remember. Someone grabbed him.
Oh, great!
I don't remember. To be honest, but he also does still a version of him. Well, there's a couple of versions of him that still exist at the moment. There's X-23,
yes,
which is the female clone of him, and there's also Old Man Logan, which is in the current day universe.
Right. Okay.
So he's not, and he's about to come back in anyway. Regardless.
How do we explain that?
The Old Man Logan.
Yes.
Remember Battle World that happened
recently?
Oh,
yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
So all the universes collided and he skipped dimensions, basically.
Great.
I don't know how.
Sure.
It seemed like he just jumped a wall from the comic that I read.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, apparently it's really good.
If anyone can jump a wall through dimensions, it's Wolverine.
That's right, yeah. So that's fun. Mm. Do you know James Marsden wore platform heels to appear bigger than Hugh Jackman? Because Marsden's 5'10" and Hugh Jackman's like 6'1" or 6'2".
There you go.
Fun fact.
That is a fun fact.
It's not that fun. It's okay. It's fine. Hey, Sabretooth, right?
Yes.
Is it true that he used to turn up and beat Wolverine up on his birthday?
Yes, that is a true thing.
So,
in fact, I think there's a storyline where he shows up and beats up Wolverine on his birthday, and then Wolverine thinks back to the last time it was his birthday and Sabretooth showed up and beat him up.
So Wolverine, despite having lost most of his memories...
Yes.
he knows when his birthday is. But does he only know because Sabretooth turns up and beats him up?
Maybe that's it. Maybe he doesn't know when his birthday is. And Sabretooth just shows up and is like, it's your birthday, bitch. Thump.
They also, I saw with that, Chris Claremont said that they consider making him father and son. So Sabretooth was his father.
Okay.
They've been brothers. And they also, there's an unused idea where Sabretooth is a clone. Every time you see him, he's a clone of a clone. So the real Sabretooth has never been seen.
Oh.
But he does have this obsession with Wolverine. So every time you see a version of Sabretooth and Wolverine defeats him, it's because he's like a clone of a clone of a clone of a clone.
Right, okay.
So he's just a watered down version of the original. That was an idea that was never brought into play.
See, but that's what I'm talking about. I would much rather that be an idea. Like I would love for that to be a rumor or a possibility, as opposed to saying, actually, here's their deal.
Right. Okay, you know what I mean? Sure. Yeah. And no, I can understand that. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Too much going on. Do you have a favorite costume?
Yeah, brown and orange.
Yeah. Why is that though?
Because it's brown.
Do you like brown?
It's pretty good.
Okay,
it's
nice. Fair enough.
It's earthy.
Yeah, it is, you know, isn't it? Which cartoon did the brown and yellow costume?
It was Wolverine and the X-Men, I think.
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's been a few versions of that. Well, let's talk costumes, though.
Yes.
So there's the original one, the yellow and the blue.
Yes.
And the red belt? Is that right? I don't know, but whatever.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I quite like it. I do enjoy it. But there's been some kind of variations on that. There's obviously the movie version, which is just a black leather suit, but it does have the little bits of yellow trim, Mason.
Fun,
don't
little,
forget.
Fun little reference.
But there's also like the X-Force, which is like, I guess, his kind of stealth costume.
Yep.
It's black and grey, which is all right. So good on him. He's banging about a bit, isn't he?
That's costume talk.
Well, no, we've talked about this before.
Yes.
But Hugh Jackman also nearly cameoed in Spider-Man 2002, but they couldn't find a suit to do it. So Spider-Man would kind of be in the city and Hugh Jackman, Wolverine would have been like, what's this? And then that would have moved along. But that was in a time, I guess, when they weren't too concerned about rights and who owned what.
Wow.
Spider-Man's a Sony movie and the Wolverine movies are
Fox
movies. And there is that outtake from X-Men where Spider-Man turns up.
That's right, that?
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on there. What do you know about
What do they need to find a suit?
Yeah, well, he could have just been shown there. Up. Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like Hugh Jackman just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just go to the shop and buy those fake Wolverine claws where you just hold them in your palm and they come out between your fingers and just be like, it's me, Wolverine.
I'm in New York City. But I feel like if that's something that could have happened, that would have opened a door to those universes connecting.
Uh-huh.
Like that would have opened up the dialogue between studios. Like now
that's
a big deal to kind of build up that relationship. But I feel like it could have been, if that had happened, we would have seen very different universes, I think. Potentially. Or the same.
It's probably the same.
What do you know about Dakin, Mason? I know nothing other than it's his son, but he's evil.
Correct.
And he's got some of his powers and a mohawk sometimes.
You pretty much summarized it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So is he's a biological son? He's not like X-23 where he's a clone. Who's the mother?
A Japanese lady whose name I cannot recall.
He's just always appropriating that culture.
He's
a weeaboo,
such
Mason.
A weeaboo. Well, God damn it, mate. There's stuff on your own shores.
Is he resentful of Wolverine because it's his father and he never loved him or grew up with him?
I think so, but also he's just a prick generally.
Yeah. You don't see him much anymore, though, do you? As far as I know, I don't remember seeing anything about him in recent years. Maybe he's popped up, but
not recently. Yeah. He took Wolverine's place in the Dark Avengers, which was the evil version of the Avengers that Norman Osborn put together in order to trick the world into thinking the Avengers were, I don't know.
It's a good trick.
Yeah, right.
Who was Captain America?
Norman Osborn was Iron Patriot.
Okay, oh yeah.
Which was his combination of Captain America and Iron Man.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Who else was on that team?
The Sentry was on the team as the Sentry.
Good.
Because he doesn't need an alter ego and he's a real weirdo and he's he's got some problems, that guy.
Sure.
Who knows what teams he's on? Hawkeye was portrayed by Bullseye.
Yep, makes sense.
Spider-Man was portrayed by Venom.
Yep, okay.
Some others.
Oh, some others.
Yeah, some others.
Interesting, okay.
Some others that I cannot recall.
Okay, fair enough. Man, in terms of the movie stuff, though.
Yes.
Have you seen the concept art of Mel Gibson as Wolverine?
No.
The Google it. Just
okay, I'm going to give it a googs. Hang on 1 second.
Yeah, a lot of people have said Mel Gibson for... People are loving giving it a googs, by the way.
I know, right?
People are eating it up. Yeah. This was in like the late 90s where...
Uh-huh.
you know, that was kind of like, what's best case?
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, what's best case scenario?
Wow.
Yeah.
They've just reshaped his mullets.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I don't like that at all. No.
I think he'd look better now with an old version
I think
Wolverine
so, too, yeah, too.
Than then. Yeah, so that's from like 97, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, give or take. But there's been a few others that kind of that nearly had it. Russell Crowe turned down Wolverine, which I think he's got the temperament, but I don't know. I don't know if that really works.
No.
Doug Ray Scott, we know we've talked about before, famously had to drop out of the role to finish Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah, great.
And as a result,
he's not done anything since.
But like you said, maybe he wouldn't have been the standout character.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you don't know what kind of.
What does he even look like? We don't know.
Yeah.
No one knows.
Hugh Jackman actually auditioned with. You can find the video with a perm because he was doing. I think he was doing like Fiddler on the Roof or something.
Right.
So when he turned up the next time, they were like, "Can you not have that hair next time we we see you?
Yeah.
Because you look ridiculous."
Also, do you have a list of potentials there? Do you also have Glenn Danzig?
I do.
Yeah.
He was approached and he said he's glad he. Oh, who's he? Do you want to explain who he is?
He's the lead singer of the Misfits.
Yeah.
And Danzig.
He looks like him. He's like a tiny little stocky muscular man.
Yeah.
And he's got the kind of the hair and whatever.
Sawin. He's also in the band at Sawin.
Not familiar.
Sam
is that a ska
Hain.
Band? Is that his ska band?
Yeah, that's his ska band.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
But he said he's glad he didn't do it because he hated it. But he said if he did do it, he would have played it less gay.
Great.
Do you know Frank Miller actually caught... I'm running out of facts, Mason, but that's okay. I've got four left.
Yeah, okay.
But let's drag it out.
Yeah, let's drag out facts, Wolverine facts.
Frank Miller coined the phrase, "I'm the best at what I do, and what I do is not very good." You won't like it when I'm angry.
That was in his, I believe, because he had a four-issue limited series, I think, and that was in that. That's great.
Do you like the Frank Miller stuff?
Not now, but back in the day.
No, I don't mean... I mean, it's still good if you went back to like the classic
I think so,
Frank Miller run. Yeah.
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 I think the Frank Miller stuff does. I think his solo series in the 90s probably still holds up.
Sure.
I mean, maybe not, but...
I don't know.
But all that stuff laid the groundwork for mysterious origin. Like, it kept providing tidbits to his origin without spilling the beans.
It was the lost of its generation.
Exactly.
But better.
Yeah. Because you didn't especially need answers, I think. Because, you know, he went to Japan. He was in World War II. We know he was in World War II.
Yeah.
But we didn't know exactly how old he was.
But Captain America had met him.
Exactly. Yeah. We knew that. We knew he was abducted by the Canadian government.
Mm-hmm.
We knew he was in a special forces team called Team X.
Yep.
With Sabretooth. But that's the thing.
Which is loosely that crap movie.
Oh, yeah. X-Men Origins Wolverine. I've heard of that. So he was in it with a whole bunch of people, but he didn't know... Like, he had all these memories of being in this team with these people, and, you know...
Weren't they false, or some of them could have been
some
false?
Some of them could have been false. At one point, he goes to a... He ends up in a warehouse, and it's filled with sets of his memories.
Oh, God.
And he's like, okay... But also, Sabretooth and some other people in that team share the same memories.
Right,
like, they all remember going to this cabin in the woods with this beautiful woman and blah, blah, blah.
Wait, but what happened in the cabin?
But they all have the memory.
Okay. Oh,
so
okay.
Potentially, it's one of their memories, but maybe it was constructed for all of them, kind of thing.
Maybe it's something they played out four times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Man, that's
so. That's what I'm enjoying. That's fun. But to be like, no, little man in Canada.
Little man in Canada. Yeah. Do you think there's any? They can't really retcon it again. It's kind of done, isn't it?
It's done. Yeah,
it's revealed. He mostly remembers everything now, doesn't he?
He remembers literally everything.
Yeah,
now. Yeah.
So
thanks to the magic of Scarlet Witch.
Good on her.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, thanks for nothing, mate.
Now, have you read Age of Ultron?
Yes, I have.
Because he's the main character of. You wouldn't know it from the movie,
right?
But he's the main character, or one of the main characters of Age of Ultron. And he's the one who travels through time, or does most of the time travel to kill Hank Pym. To stop him from creating Ultron.
Uh-huh.
And in the process, he creates a whole lot of parallel universes, like more horrific than the one that he came from.
Right.
Where Ultron's taken over. One where, like, Tony Stark's been torn in half.
Oh, yeah,
like,
that's
and,
right.
Yeah, and he's this, like, horrible dictator and whatever. And in the end, there ends up being multiple versions of himself because he goes back in time to stop himself from killing
Hank
Pym. And then in doing so, there's... You can't have two Wolverines. So the Wolverine who went to the horrible version of the future or the present or whatever allows himself to be killed
by the one that he stopped
yes.
killing Hank Pym, if that makes sense. I actually did a video, Mason. You'd be interested to check it out on my YouTube channel. It's like all the different ways you can kill Wolverine. You could check that out right now.
Maybe I will.
You can't. I haven't finished it. You can't. I've said this before, but it will be ready. I'll link it below for people who are having a listen. Give it a googs, mate, and just see it.
Okay,
it's
great.
It's right there, but it's also linked below.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I got one more. It's not a good one. Oh, I should have ended on this one. Devastating.
So it's not a good one.
It's fine.
Let's make something of it. Here we go. I'm rubbing my hands together with glee with the amazing content we're going to produce with this last thing. Here we go.
The Wolverine, the film, started as a prequel to X-Men, which you probably know because at the end of X-Men Origins, he goes to Japan and he's in a Hawaiian shirt.
That's right, yeah.
So that's what I always thought it was going to be. But then they decided to make it a sequel to not be hamstrung by the other films, which I think is also the idea with the Logan.
Yeah, I hate how all the X-Men films are hamstrung by continuity, you know?
If you care about continuity, they are. But yeah, I guess if not. I think that's why this director, James Mangold, he's just like, I'm just going to set my movies away from the other ones.
And also, as we know, Wolverine, massive weeaboo, gone to Japan heaps. He can't stay away from Japan.
He's getting
a sword.
He loves
their technology. He loves their fancy toilets.
He loves their old Japanese men in a big silver robot.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing he doesn't love.
He loves a capsule hotel.
Yes, he does.
He loves vending machines filled with creepy stuff.
Have you ever used one of those toilets? Japanese toilets? They're amazing. Like, they've got all the buttons. It's incredible.
I bet. Great.
They're a wonderful piece of technology.
Mm-hmm.
If we could get some sponsorship for that, I'd be bang bloody up for it.
Uh-huh.
Any more facts, Mason? Otherwise, we're going to have to move on. I'm sorry.
Can I recommend some Wolverine stories that I think are great?
I would love that.
There is one from, bloody hell, like 1980.
Okay.
It's an uncanny X-Men storyline. It's called Alone. It's X-Men 132.
Yep.
And it's basically, it's all the Hellfire Club has basically shut down all the other X-Men. Like, they've taken them all down.
Right.
And Wolverine's the only one left.
Okay.
But again, this is the time when he was just a scrappy dude.
Scrappy knockabout.
Exactly. And so he has to go into the Hellfire Club and just rescue everybody. It's a real good story.
Lots of murder?
There's a little bit of murder.
Yeah. Do you not like how they PG-ified him in a lot of ways?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you want more blood, more guts.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Any others?
But anyway, it was kind of cool. There's the Weapon X storyline.
Yep, sure.
It's his Weapon X origin, and it's his escape from the Weapon X facility.
Right.
And it's by Barry Windsor-Smith, whose art you'd recognize, which is the very kind of very gritty kind of very.
That's just red from here.
There's a lot of Barry Windsor-Smith is probably...
It looks like a magic eye.
Yeah. Barry Windsor-Smith's known for his, like, you know, Conan-style kind of barbarian art and that sort of stuff.
That's the cover where he's got the computer on his head. And
yes.
He's naked.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Another one, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's also good because it doesn't explain his origin.
Correct.
It's just like, this is a thing that happened to him that he probably remembers, I guess, because,
Yeah.
How did he end up losing his memories? Was it just different experiments? Because in the movies, we know he had a bullet to the brain.
Oh, that's right. It was two adamantium bullets to the brain.
Correct.
I think it's just a combination of trauma and human beings probably shouldn't be alive for that long.
Yeah, it's probably both them things.
I like the idea that it's a combination of trauma and his memory being papered over with false memories.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
I was reading a thing where actually even if you've got an adamantium skull and you got hit in the head, it wouldn't protect you.
No, your brain would turn to mush.
Well, exactly, because it's the movement of your brain which is not good.
Yeah.
Like, so it doesn't matter. It's like if you're in a car and the car's made of pure metal. Yeah, you still get shredded. You still get bounced around inside if you're in an accident. And you kind of see that in X-Men 2 where Wolverine takes a bullet to the head.
Yes.
And he just goes down.
Exactly.
Which I kind of like. Like, he gets up, obviously, quicker than a person should or at all. But yeah, I like that. I kind of like that aspect of it that, yeah, he's not invincible. Or is he?
Oh, very good.
Yes, he is. He's
except for his brain, which can take an adamantium bullet, but won't kill him.
Yeah, that's right.
That's my favorite line in that movie, I feel.
What?
Where?
He says, don't, and then he gets shot in the head?
No, it's the point where I think it's Stryker's like, use this gun and shoot him in the head.
Oh, different. Okay, I was thinking of two. Sorry, go on.
Use this and shoot him in the head. And they're like, it won't kill him. And they're like, yeah, but it'll destroy his memories.
Great.
You know that, do you?
Great. Also, I did this in the video. Spoiler alert for that video I made. If you wanted to get a bullet in his brain, you could just shoot him through the eye socket.
Or up his nose.
Or up his nose.
In his mouth.
In his mouth.
Ear holes.
As a character, yay or nay, which would, like, in total, in general, out of all the medias.
Look, yay. I enjoy his colourful backstory when I don't know all of it.
Well, now you do, Mason.
Now I do, so
now
that's a shame.
You can't enjoy it.
You know what I'd like? When they inevitably bring him back in the comic books,
yep.
Power him down a little.
Okay, fair enough.
Just say, look, he's been trapped in this adamantium cocoon for a while,
yeah.
And his powers have waned quite a bit.
Well, he didn't have powers when he went in.
Oh, well, then
so they've come back, but they're not great.
Great, fantastic.
Good work, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I also say yay. Yay.
Okay, we've definitively decided. Yay to Wolverine.
You know what it's time for then?
Oh, what are we reading?
What are we going to read?
Oh, fantastic segment.
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? What did you read?
I've been reading heaps of comics this week. What I like to do is I listen to our friends Levins and Siobhan over at Serious Issues podcast.
It's a great podcast.
And then
both of us have been on.
That's right. And I ignore all their nay suggestions.
Yeah.
All the bad stuff. So they read the bad stuff so I don't have to.
Yeah.
And I just read the good ones. So I've been reading some good stuff this week.
What do you
I read, we've talked about DC have got an imprint called Young Animal, which is like their, it's like their new Vertigo kind of situation. Their mature ages comic book. There's four out now and they're all sort of variously attached to the regular DC universe. But I read the first three issues of Mother Panic, which is set in Gotham City, like in the regular continuity.
Who's Mother Panic?
Well, Mother Panic is, her name's Violet. She's an heiress to a wealthy family in Gotham because
that's the dream.
That's your two options in Gotham. You can either be a scion of a wealthy family dynasty or you can live in the slums. They're your two options in Gotham. And so when she was a child, her father took her on a hunting expedition. He was killed in mysterious circumstances.
Yep.
And her mother has Alzheimer's, so she was taken to live in like
a deer beat him to death?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's revealed in the first three issues, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone. And so she's sent off to a weird boarding school, and like years later, she's back in Gotham.
Yeah.
And she's taken this identity, Mother Panic, and she...
Is she a mother?
No. We don't know yet.
It's appropriating motherhood, Mason.
Isn't it though? Yeah,
do not like
the most
it.
Beautiful thing of all. and she's basically got Arrow style. She's got a list of people she's going to take down for various reasons that we don't 100% know yet.
Okay,
but she's got a cool costume. She's got mysterious superhuman strength for some reason.
Have you seen her before? Is she a new character?
She's a new character.
Cool.
Yeah, and she's got like a hover bike kind of
a hover bike,
kind of a glidey hover
a
bike
kind of hover bike.
Well, it's like a imagine a motorcycle all white with wings. It can fly.
Hover bike,
yeah.
I get
exactly.
You.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
cool.
Right.
That's great.
And she's on the radar of the Bat family, who are kind of like nudging, because she's got a real bad attitude.
Are they kind of like, who dis?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of video calls that are like, who dis? but she's on their radar and they're kind of, because she's kind of like, it's a revenge mission.
Yeah.
But they're kind of nudging her towards heroism, which is...
Is she a murderer?
I'd rather not say.
Okay then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
Art's great. It's got the vibe of, there was a series in the 90s called Aztec.
Yeah.
Which was about this new hero on the scene kind of integrating with the rest of the DC universe. It's kind of got that vibe and it's fun and it's art's great. It's nice.
Sounds real choice.
It is choice.
Good work.
What have you been reading? I got some other stuff, but I'll wait to see what you've been reading and or watching.
Well, I've been watching Wolverine's. I did watch Wolverine's own Mel Gibson directed Hacksaw Ridge.
What's
that one? It's good. Like, it is. He's a good director. Like, as much as he is a bad bloke.
He's not in it.
No, he's not.
What's it about?
Okay, it's about a man.
Great.
In World War II.
Finally.
But he's a conscientious objector.
Great.
And he refuses to pick up a gun. He just wants to go to World War II, but as a medic, that's in here, it's against his religion and his own personal beliefs that he doesn't want to kill another person.
Okay.
Like a coward.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Great.
So they're all like, you're no good for the army. We're going to drum you out. But he's like, it's my civic duty and I'm going to do it. So he ends up doing it and he goes there. And then in the movie, he performs an incredibly heroic action over the course of this one battle. And look, it's a really compelling film and whatever. And, a, you know, it's...
Well, that's the note of a compelling film, if it's a really compelling film and whatever.
Yeah, but, and I was interested to find out how much of this guy is real. And a lot of it is real, but it's also kind of like, it's like the same way with, like, say, the Braveheart. Or
I thought you were going to say the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, the Brady Bunch, where it's not as real as you think, Mason. Mm-hmm. It's just a slice of society, which may not be entirely accurate. So, but they've kind of condensed his history into kind of this one battle.
Oh, okay, cool.
And he does end up saving, like, multitudes of people, but it was over 3 weeks. Like, it was an amazing feat that in real life, I don't know why they kind of
they could portray 3 weeks in the span of 2 hours.
You can't,
in the movie world. You
because
can't,
you'd have to make a 3 week movie. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So look, I definitely think it's worth checking out. It's funny because they refused to kind of make a story about this guy's life before, because he was like, no, because it wouldn't be accurate, because they wanted to take out the kind of the religious element of it. And if you want to get a bloody religious film, mate, give it to
old Melly Gibbs.
He'll make it happen. But he also made like quite a lot of significant changes. But I guess because the guy died and.
Yeah, right.
So now they just kind of like, he died in like 2006. They were like, we'll just make the best movie. But Mel Gibson's movies aren't always known for his historical movies aren't always known for their historical accuracy.
That's true.
Braveheart, The Patriot, Payback, Lethal Weapon.
Passion of the Christ.
Oh, is that accurate? Who knows? Who knows, Mason?
Is there a scene where one of the characters has to endure a whole bunch of just torture.
Yes.
Of course there is.
But not to the extent of like... It's more kind
of
like beatings and
oh, great.
Because
well.
They're like, you're a coward. Mm-hmm. Not Tobey Maguire. What's his name?
Maguire, you're a coward. Andrew Garfield.
Who's really good. Yeah. He's really good in it. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a lot of Australians in it. Like Richard Roxburgh's in it.
Great.
There's Hugo Weaving's in it.
Do you think they're friends?
They're definitely friends. Sam Worthington's in it and he's good. He's great in a supporting role. That's what he should do.
Supporting, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's quite good. That you've never mentioned that. What are you saying? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I've never said it.
Okay. What else you got?
I read also The Wildstorm, which is DC's reboot of Image's Wildstorm universe.
Right.
But as one 24-issue limited series, it's going to be apparently.
And that's it. It's done forever.
Well, we don't know.
Is it good?
Yeah, so far it's good. So it's Warren Ellis,
who
I'm a big fan of.
Great.
John Davis Hunt on the art. And it's sort of a few years ago. Warren Ellis attempted to reboot Marvel's new universe as a single series called New Universal, and there were a couple of great issues, and then his laptop died or something. There was some crisis involving scripts, and
he should have uploaded it to the cloud.
Should have put it in the cloud, exactly. And then the artist dropped off because he had other projects while Warren Ellis was rewriting it, etc. And then the whole project fell apart. Boom. So hopefully it doesn't happen with this.
Right.
So it's like a retelling of a lot of the characters from like Wildcats and The Authority and Sofa. And yeah, it's there are characters you'd recognize, characters who have, you know, sort of brand new looks. It's Warren Ellis-y in the way that most of the characters are Warren Ellis.
How many issues are there so far?
Just one so far.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. I'm liking it so far. It's a little bit jarring because we've seen some characters who are sort of markedly different power-wise and sort of personality-wise.
So it is a clean reboot?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like, remember when he did this? So you don't need to know anything.
No, else. And it's interesting because some of the Wildstorm characters have been introduced into the DC universe proper, like Midnight and Apollo.
That is true, actually.
And this is apparently a completely separate universe.
Okay.
So I don't know if they're going to use new versions of Midnighter and Apollo, just not have them at all. Or...
But everything's kind of folding in on itself in the DC universe.
Yes,
Watchmen's
right.
Maybe it'll all cross over.
Oh, great. I hope so. I don't. But yeah, like as someone who's kind of a big fan of especially The Authority and Planetary and stuff like that, some of these new characters are a little bit jarring because they're obviously, you know, used to these other characters and they've rebooted them. But it seems like a lot of fun. So that's...
Okay, fantastic.
Gonna read that.
Do you think then maybe this would be the appropriate time to do some letters?
Yes, but I have one more thing. What else? God Country.
Yep, been reading that.
Been reading
that's
good, right?
Two issues, yep.
And also I started reading Ether, which is a story about a man who can traverse across to another universe, like a universe of fun and magic, where he's kind of this detective kind of adventurer hero.
Right.
But while he's there, his real life has fallen apart. So in the real world, he's just kind of like this homeless bum.
Okay, great.
It's good.
So he can't exist in the universe at the same time?
No.
Like when he goes and he's really gone for 2 weeks and he comes back and he's like,
exactly,
oh no.
Oh no, my job. I live on the streets now. Yeah. Maybe it's, okay, after that it's time for letters.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. Another here right now. We're going to do letters.
A little bit of a peek behind the curtain there.
Yeah.
Earlier on, the recorder we used stopped recording and we panicked for a little bit.
We lost like 2 minutes.
So that was, so while our famous letters segment theme was playing, I was pointing frantically at the recorder and be like, is it still going?
And it is.
Yeah, great.
If you're listening to this, it absolutely
is. Still going, mate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? The thing about this Zoom, Mason.
What's that?
As we talked about, when it stops recording, the old one, the sound used to cut out in my ears.
Yeah.
This one doesn't.
Doesn't.
It just keeps going. So
maybe it's because this one was dropped.
Yeah, maybe somebody dropped a microphone on and cracked the screen, Mason. Maybe that's what happened. It wasn't you.
It wasn't me.
No, I know that. Do you want to do your letter first from the mailbag?
Okay, now we were talking about some stuff that was looking up in the DC Cinematic Universe earlier.
Yeah.
This is from Arthur Hand. He says something nice about the show. One of his favorite things to listen
what
to.
What did he say?
One of his favorite things to listen to is you guys discussing the DCCU. So here's the question. DC is a habit in the movie of killing off names like Mercy Graves or Jimmy Olsen in their first movie. Are there any characters that you're afraid will get the axe before they have a chance to shine?
Afraid?
Yeah.
Nah, I think just go for broke, mate.
Wow. His personal fear is they'll kill Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern movie and then they'll move Jon Stewart in straight away.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an absolute possibility.
It definitely is, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
We've seen Hal Jordan already.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to see him in this universe, but also it would be nice to see Jon Stewart in this universe. So,
well, I guess that's what
my hands are tied.
The Green Lantern Corps movie is going to be hopefully a bunch of them put together.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, in the Justice League movie, there was a rumor this week that there's going to be a version of Green Lantern in that, but it's going to be one of the weirder ones, or with it, like it's not going to be Hal Jordan's or whatever. So maybe a Gnort.
Maybe Gnort.
What's the one who's just a big eye or a big planet or something? What's that one called?
I'll think of it in a second.
Who cares?
Mogo. Yeah. Is it Mogo?
Kilowog.
Yeah. Could be Kilowog.
Yeah.
It could be, what could be? It could just be Bruce Wayne opening up a spreadsheet and it's a list of all the Green Lantern's names. Mogo.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's Gnort because they're just like, we've got a little furry little creature as well that's...
And speaking of this, our mate Artie Hand right here, he might have a good point in that if DC maybe are planning on rebooting this universe anyway at some point, they might be like, who cares if we kill Hal Jordan?
Mm.
Who cares if we kill Nightwing or Robin or anyone?
Yeah.
If we're just going to reboot it again later.
What does it matter? Yeah, it's a really good point.
Mogo is a small heritage town in the south coast region of the state of New South Wales, Australia.
That's what I meant. The Green Lantern.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Is there anyone you're afraid, though, that they're going to murder? Like, a favourite of yours that's going to kick the bucket? I mean, they've killed Superman already.
I reckon they might introduce Damian Wayne and then kill him straight away.
Really?
Maybe.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that would make Batman sad, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Do you think they'd go as far to, like, kill an Alfred?
Oh, they might. That's true.
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, can I, if we can digress, and if this show is nothing else, it's a series of
digressions.
You know how I love... You know, I love a meme. Yes. I love a comic book meme on Instagram.
Yeah.
I just love memes so much.
It has to be convoluted, though.
Well, this one isn't so much convoluted, but it is, after a while, all the convoluted, aggressive ones sort of blur after a while.
Yeah.
So I ignore some of them. But this one, it's from Batman_updates on Instagram, and it just says, do you like how Alfred assists Batman with his missions? And then it's just a collage of pictures of Jeremy Irons doing stuff in the Batman movies.
I guess so. Is that
I
a
guess
meme?
I do.
I don't think this guy knows what a meme is.
No, that's a meme. That's a meme.
That's accidentally a meme.
Do you like it though?
I guess.
Do you?
I do.
Do you like how he assists Batman in his missions?
I know. I do.
It's pretty great, right? That's an A+. That's an A+ comic book meme, if you ask me. Because people interact with it.
Yeah, that's
I assume
right.
There's 10,000. There's 267 comments, and I assume all of. And this has 7,700 likes.
Wow.
So I'm assuming underneath every comment is either yes or no.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's you want people to interact. You know what I mean?
You do.
What are we talking about?
But you can't if you want to email the show. We've opened up the mailbag. It's weeklyplanetpod@gmail. Just like our friend, whoever emailed
Arthur
them.
Hand.
Arthur Ham. Mm-hmm. Ham?
Hand.
Ham. With hand. An M. Ham.
No, hand, like your hand.
Like ham.
Yeah, like John Ham.
John Ham.
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
Great.
You can also contact us on Twitter at #...
Mogo is the Green Lantern planet.
Excellent. And the town.
Yeah.
You can also contact us on Twitter, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
That's right.
I've got another DC question here, Mason. This is from Jai Smith.
Ooh.
Who is smarter, Superman or Batman?
Batman.
But
yes,
Superman has amazing processing powers.
Yeah.
Of calculation, but you think Batman can think outside the box.
I think that's true.
Is that what it is?
And I also, well, I think it would depend on which era of Superman and Batman, because in the sort of Silver Age, Superman was smarter and better and stronger and faster and had more powers than anyone.
He was a Kanye West song.
There was no, yes, exactly. There was no reason for anybody else to exist at all.
Right.
And so that was the version of Superman that, oh, I need a gadget to help me with this. Well, I'll just invent it and build it in the span of 1 second.
Kind of thing.
And so in that version, of course, Superman's smarter.
Yeah.
But in the modern day, I reckon it's Batman.
What about if you pitted Christian Bale, Batman?
Yes.
Against 70s era Christopher Reeve, Superman. Who's smarter?
All right. I think Batman's much smarter in that instance, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Superman was tricked into opening a box.
Exactly. Why would you open the box?
Don't open the box, mate. It's interesting that Lex Luthor didn't open the box himself, because he could have.
Yeah, with his hands.
Yeah, Superman could have just turned up and he could have just had it, the kryptonite ready. Just be like, this is for you.
Yeah. Superman probably could have also scoped out the situation.
Yeah.
And either seen a box that he could see through or a box that he couldn't see through. And
which is what he said.
Assumed it was bad. Well, he nuked it with heat vision.
Yeah. Well, he assumed it was, like, he wanted to know what was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he saw that he couldn't see through it and then he opened it anyway. What a dummy.
Christian Bale Batman wouldn't open a box.
He gets stabbed.
Yeah, he's alive. That's true, yeah. Yeah.
Gets attacked
by dogs.
Thought
he was stab-proof, but
yeah,
he's not.
He's not. This is from Christopher Gonzalez. If there was a script leak in Infinity Wars, do you think that would change it? Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
No.
You think they just roll? I think they just roll on.
I think they just roll on. I mean, we kind of know how that storyline's going to go anyway.
Sure, yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe they'd probably tweak it,
yeah,
you know, to kind of keep people guessing. But
they might tweak it if one of the characters died, maybe.
Right, yeah, yeah, sure, yeah.
Like if we knew the Captain America. But then again,
most people don't even read the leaked script. I know I wouldn't read it.
Yeah,
like,
same.
Remember when, like, Quentin Tarantino's Hateful Eight leaked? I didn't read it. I'm like, I'm not reading it. I'd rather see it when it comes out.
Did you refer to it just then as The Painful Eight? Because it kind of was.
I should have. Yeah. I didn't love it. Mm. But yeah, but I'd rather not. I don't mind, like, flicking through a script that, like, never was. Like an old
whatever.
But I don't, why would you spoil
but
it?
But also yourself? The same, if a script does leak or a plot point does leak, we are going to get a million, you know, Variety and EW and comic book, what have you, articles that are like, you'll never guess who dies in Infinity War.
True,
and they'll be like, well, somebody dies. So.
Yeah, thanks a lot, jerks.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's very true. Also, when something leaks, I guess you don't know which version of it it is. You know,
that's true. It might be the first draft. Yeah. They've long binned. That's maybe why they found it, because it was in the bin.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Long in the bin.
Yeah.
Is that the show, though?
I think that is the show.
I don't mind if it is.
It is.
Okay, good.
Great.
Next week, Logan, send us your thoughts via email or text message.
No spoilies.
No spoilies. Or Twitter, actually. any way you want to do it.
Any way you want it.
It's nothing but good things. Universal praise, Mason. So I'm expecting the highest of high art.
Then I'm expecting to be let down, because that's always what happens.
All right, then.
Somebody says something's the best thing. I'm looking at you, Hunt for the Wilder People. It's fine.
I thought you were going to say Hunt for Red October.
Hunt for Red October.
They said it was the best Jack Ryan movie.
They said it was a silent submarine, but I could hear it. I could still hear it. I could still hear it. I could hear everybody talking on it.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. Or have I? It doesn't matter.
Let's give it a miss.
Where can people do the thing that they do to support us?
Oh,
show.
You can find us on Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Twitter and Gmail and Bandcamp.
I'm doing the Han Solo dance.
He's doing the Han Solo dance. If you'd like to support James doing his little Han Solo dance.
This chair creaks too much.
Yeah, if you'd like to support James getting a non-creaky chair so he can do his little Han Solo dance, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies.
Like a stealth submarine.
If you want to chuck in a buck.
Yep.
If you want to also support the show, you can click on the Amazon affiliate link that's in our episode description if you want to buy maybe some of those classic Wolverine stories.
Yeah.
Some of which are pretty good. You should buy maybe track down 5 fabulous decades of Marvel Comics. That's actually a pretty good read.
Pretty good, pretty interesting.
I mean it's 25 years past its use by date,
sure.
But it's still pretty good.
What are you, ageist?
A little bit.
Not you, I meant.
Yeah. Anyway, you just click on that and you go through to regular Amazon. You buy whatever you want. We get a kickback somehow. What else? Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for our themes. Yep. Thanks to everybody who tweets us, sending some nice art, sends in bloody anything.
Bits and bobs. Yep.
Pretty great. Thanks for everybody who likes and subscribes and tells people about it.
Yep.
Thanks for everybody who has donated already to our Movember.
Also, we should mention a few people have asked, when's it coming out? When we do this live show? And then also we'll do the Q&A after that. Yeah. So,
and the donation...
you have to click the box to email to contact.
Yep.
It's in the details, but otherwise I can't contact you regardless.
Exactly. And also the campaign's going to continue, I think, until a month after the live show.
Yep.
So it's open for a while. So,
yeah, that's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thanks for everybody who's donated.
Yeah.
We've blown through the bloody first week.
How did we do it?
Well, we didn't do anything.
How did we do it?
Their listeners did everything.
I just don't know how we do it.
The weekly Whack-a-doodos did everything.
That's it. Roy Collins did a new animation as well.
Yes, he did.
It's a hate mail one. Check it out on his YouTube channel. I'll link that below also. Very good. Very good.
Very good.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.